Today's reading, my first one, is going to be from Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I'll continue to read from Luke 10, 25 to 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." And the next reading, just one verse, is from Acts, verse 9, reading from 36. I can't see it. "In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor." This is the word of the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that your word is truth. And we just ask now that you will be with David as he comes up to open up the word to us. Help us to have listening ears and open minds and hearts to hear what you want to share with us today. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Sue, and thanks, Dave. Can we just welcome Dave as he comes forward? And can I also just say a quick welcome to Eleanor as well, previous pastor's daughter here over from America. So lovely to see you. And I just wanted to say as well, we had an amazing wedding here yesterday. Will and Lydia got married, and it's just a beautiful occasion. So do be praying for them as they embark on married life together. But thank you, Dave, for sharing. Thanks.
Morning, everyone. Thank you very much for coming out this morning, and thank you for listening if you are at home. Jesus was very good at times at making people feel uncomfortable by the things he said and the things he asked them. And I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but I, at the moment, am maybe going to make some of you feel a bit uncomfortable. And we're going to do that by taking you back to school. Some of you may have loved school, some of you may have hated it, some of you may be somewhere in between. But the kind of good news is you are now going to be teachers, and you are going to assess a piece of writing. And I wouldn't normally do this in school. I'm going to give you permission to call out your answers. So So be brave this morning. We're not always good at this. We're a bit quiet sometimes as a church. Be brave. Call out what you think. So Ben, if we could show this piece of writing, please. I woke to my alarm as usual at 5:30. This is going to be a nice day, I said to myself. After breakfast, I left the house and met the local milkman. Have a nice day, I said. I got into my nice new car and left for my nice job. On the journey to work, a cyclist on a nice bike managed to scratch the side of my nice car. You stupid idiot, I said to him. You have damaged my nice car. He turned around and said, you car owners are all the same. These nice roads are not just meant for you. I got back into my nice car, feeling really angry. Who do these cyclists think they are? I said to myself. When I finally arrived at my nice job, I said hello to the receptionist as usual. How are you? She said. I'm okay, I said, although a little angry with a cyclist on a nice bike who managed to scratch my nice car. Any thoughts? If you're a teacher, what would you advise this pupil to change? Any thoughts? Come on, Sarah, you work in education. Be brave. Oh, adjectives, get you. Goodness me. What's an adjective, Sarah? I didn't hear that, sorry. A describing word. Any words in particular? Ben, sorry, can you keep it up on screen? Sorry. Nice. What's wrong with nice? Let's look at the first couple of sentences then. Sorry, Ben, we're going to be all over the place this morning. I woke to my alarm as usual at 5:30. This is going to be a nice day. What would you change? This is going to be a... Good, was that? Okay, a good... Not too creative, I must say. As I said to myself, after breakfast, I left the house and met the local milkman. Have a nice day. Lovely day. Tell you worked in education, Nick. Have a lovely day. Where are we? I said, do we want to change said? Are we happy with said? Shouted. I shouted. Have a lovely day, I shouted. I got into my nice new car. Shiny, I like that. I got into my shiny new car and left for my... Excellent, was that? Excellent. I left my excellent job. What job do you do? Well, there you go. On the journey to work, a cyclist on a... Flashy. Someone doesn't like cyclists. A flashy bike. Managed to scratch the side of my nice car. New? Oh, sorry, my hearing's really going. Loud voice. Anyone? I still can't get it. Tim, did you get it? New. Managed to scratch the side of my new car. You stupid idiot, I said. You stupid idiot. I screamed. Oh, okay, Nick, I'll give you that one. I screamed. You have damaged my nice car. My expensive, all fabulous. Hands up expensive. Hands up fabulous. Oh. Hands up if you're not taking part. Goodness me. We'll go with fabulous. He turned around and said... Yelled, I like it. He yelled. He would yell, wouldn't he? Probably. You car owners are all the same. These... You don't live in Brighton Hove, do you? Freshly paved. Goodness me. Freshly paved roads are not just meant for you. I got back into my... Oh. Right, you'll have to spell that for me. Pretentious. I think I know how to spell it. Who do these cyclists think they are, I said to myself. Would that do? Muttered. Ooh. Right, I think we'll stop there. I'm enjoying myself too much. Right, this is what we have changed it to. I woke to my alarm as usual at 5:30. This is going to be a good day, I said to myself. After breakfast, I left the house and met the local milkman. Have a lovely day, I shouted. I got into my shiny new car and left for my excellent job. On the journey to work, a cyclist on a flashy bike managed to scratch the side of my new car. You stupid idiot, I screamed at him. You have damaged my fabulous car. He turned around and yelled, you car owners are all the same. These freshly paved roads are not just meant for you. I got back into my pretentious car feeling really angry, mainly because I couldn't spell pretentious. Who do these cyclists think they are? I muttered to myself. Very good. Round of applause, I think. Very good. Now, if you work in teaching and a child had written that, you would talk to them, as Sarah said, about using more powerful adjectives, more powerful describing words, more emotive words to get a really good feeling in your story. And I think in particular that word nice in our current society has come to be equated with the word kind or kindness. It's a bit of a kind of a wishy-washy, wet, nah kind of word. But I want to talk about this morning how, in fact, kindness or being kind is a really powerful force that can really touch people's lives, can really change people's lives and make them feel not just better about themselves, but have a real impact on how they see themselves in terms of how God looks at them and respects them. So, what do we mean by kindness? Well, the word is used quite a lot in the Bible, but where I want to start to begin with is last week when David talked about love being patient. Now, I knew that. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, but it came as a real kind of revelation to me. Love is patient. I've never prayed for patience, I'll be honest with you, mainly because in Romans it says, if you use the King James, tribulation worketh patience. And I never wanted more tribulation than I already had. So I never prayed for it. But it says, love is patient. What does it say after that? Love is kind. Love is kind. If you are being kind to someone, you are showing them an aspect of love. A very powerful force in our world. Okay? Now, you have to forgive me here. In my state comprehensive school in Portsmouth, where I grew up, we didn't do much Hebrew. So if I say this word incorrectly, I do apologize. I think the word is kesed, and it's a word, Hebrew word, written in the Old Testament, that was used a lot in the Old Testament. You may see it now in your modern translation as mercy or goodness or love. But in the King James, it talks about loving kindness. The two go together. You're not just kind, that kind of, it's loving kindness. So for example, in Psalm 63 verse 3, we find, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Psalm 69 verse 16, hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. The focus this morning in this morning's meeting, where I think God has really been talking to us, is about his love for us, his loving kindness towards us. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I love that song that Becca sung about the overwhelming, never-ending love of God. In football, they talk about, some teams, they don't have a plan B. God doesn't have a plan B, he has a plan A, and that involves his loving kindness, chasing us, running up mountains, kicking down doors. God has a loving kindness that cannot be ever overcome, and he wants to meet with us. And as he meets with us, he wants to change us. Ben, could we look at the verse from Titus, please, or the verses from Titus, if possible? So the book of Titus, chapter 3. But when the kindness and love of our Saviour appeared. There we go, kindness and love together. The loving kindness of our Saviour appeared. Jesus is a manifestation of God's loving kindness in our world. He didn't just sit up there saying, I love you, get on with it. His loving kindness became real, walked the earth, felt what we felt, and so on. Jesus is the manifestation of God's loving kindness on earth. He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Great verses, great verses. God's loving kindness made manifest in this world. And notice everything there about our salvation is down to Jesus. He saved. It is his mercy. It is his washing. It is his renewal. It is his generosity. It is his grace. It is not because of anything that we have ever done. And when we were far away from God, when we didn't even care about him, his loving kindness sought us out to be with us, to change us, to give us eternal life, and to let us know that we are loved. And that's my starting point this morning. Let's remember this whole morning, God's loving kindness is why we are here. And now we move on to thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. And Tim and I, we talked briefly during the week about this talk and where we're going to go and what we're going to talk about in it. And he made a very good point to me in that we don't want the fruit of the Spirit just to be a list of do's and don'ts. I must love more. I must be more patient. I must be more kind. And try our hardest to be better, if you like. The whole book of Galatians is about Paul writing, stopping that church getting more and more legalistic. He said, no, this is not the way to go. It's not about doing this, doing that, not doing this, not doing that. It's about living by the Spirit. And we need to remember this morning, they are the fruit of the Spirit. And it's God's Spirit that will cause them to grow in us. But what does that mean? Do we just sit around? Oh, I don't quite feel kind yet. No. No, love, no. Come on, where are you? No, there's a balance to be had, I think. We can't just sit around waiting for these feelings to arise in us. I'm going to love everyone. I'm going to be kind to everyone. Doesn't work that way. We are very much in a culture where if you feel it, you go and do it. I feel this, therefore I am going to do it. I don't feel this, so therefore I'm not going to go and do that. And I would like to suggest to us this morning that sometimes the action comes before the feeling, and that the action of being kind is more important than that feeling. And I think as we act more, as we are more kind, I think those feelings will grow. And we are going to look at the story of the Good Samaritan, which was read a few minutes ago. Very famous story, and like a lot of stories in the Bible, it's something that living in Britain in 2022, we don't always culturally get the full feeling of meaning of what Jesus was teaching and talking about. So I'm going to bring it more down to Brighton, more down to Sussex, and we are going to look at something called the A23 Derby. Excuse me while I have a drink of water. Ben, could I have the next slide, please? Anyone like to explain what the A23 Derby is? Sarah's mic not in this morning.
Brighton
v Crystal Palace. Tell me a bit more, Dan.
Oh, it's just a really strange rivalry where they're not even that close, but
It is the worst name of a derby in the whole wide world, I think, the A23 Derby. But there you go. If you don't follow football, there is a huge hatred, is that fair? Between the two clubs. And when they play each other, there's always more police on the street, and it can be quite a dangerous occasion. So you have to picture a Brighton and Hove Albion supporter goes to the game. He's got his nice shiny new shirt on, looking good, feeling good. The game's gone quite well. And walking home afterwards, purely through chance, he bumps into some Crystal Palace supporters who are not very happy to see him. They've just lost the game. And so sadly, they beat him up and they leave him lying in the street. And there he is, just lying there, not in a good shape. And out of nowhere, a Brighton and Hove Albion supporter walks past him. And he sees him lying there. They're the same supporters. They support the same club. They have the same faith or belief, if you like, in this Brighton and Hove Albion football club. But he looks at him and he sees, well, he's got some tattoos on his arm. And he's got a couple of piercings. And even worse, he's got last year's football shirt on, so he can't be a true supporter. Do you know what? Sorry, mate, although we're kind of on the same side, I'm going to leave you there. And so he walks on by. Short while later, a member of a church in Brighton comes past the same guy. Brighton Hove Albion shirt on. Maybe he goes to Holland Road. Maybe Emmanuel. Maybe St. Peter's. Maybe any other church you want to name in Brighton. I don't know. And he looks at him and thinks, this is not good. But unfortunately, I'm a bit late for my prayer meeting. When I get to my prayer meeting, we'll pray about you. Don't worry about it. Just do your best. Hang on in there. And off they go. Finally, a little while later, a Crystal Palace supporter walks past. Got the Palace shirt on and everything, blue and red stripes. Sees the guy laying there. Does he walk by? That's what he should do. He's supposed to hate this guy. But he doesn't. He stops. And he cares for him. And he kind of picks him up and he carries him to the local pub to try and get some treatment or get someone look after him properly. And he walks in. And he walks into that pub. As soon as he gets in there, he thinks, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. Because it's rammed with Brighton and Hove Albion supporters, all in their blue and white stripy shirts. And what does it look like to them? It looks like this Crystal Palace guy has just had a fight with the Brighton and Hove Albion supporters to come on top. But he bravely carries on and he goes to the publican and says, excuse me, I found this guy laying in the street. Can you look after him? Take care of him. And if the money I'm going to leave you is not enough to cover his recovery and his getting better, let me know and I will pay more money. The guy that should have left him laying there helped him out. And Jesus said to the young man he was talking to, you go and do likewise. And that is what Jesus is asking us to do. Go and do likewise. Be kind or show loving kindness to those who maybe we feel don't deserve it. We also heard about Dorcas in the book of Acts. I don't know whether she'd heard this parable. I've no idea. But in the new church there, she had been so touched by God's Holy Spirit. What did she do? She was going out, helping the poor and the needy, devoting all her energies, showing, if you like, that loving kindness of God in a very practical way. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. And do you know what I think? And this is without trying to get us being big-headed. I think this church is a kind church. Is it £34,000, Tim? That's incredible. How big is our membership, Tim? 300? It's incredible when you think about it. At this time, these economically hard times, £34,000 is incredible. Cap! Listening to that guy speak on the film at the end, it's brilliant and it makes you want to cry all at the same time, doesn't it? Loving kindness in action. The practicals team. I couldn't even begin to think how many people have helped, or they have helped at this time. just by doing something purely practical, like maybe delivering a lunch or getting a hold of a television for them. The baby lunches, Tim, I've totally forgotten the name of them. The bundles of joy. Meals are made for families that have new children so they don't have to worry about the stress of cooking. Brilliant. Hope we used to do a few years ago. I remember going to David Dorr School when we used to do Hope, and they were having some work done, and all we did was shift some boxes, and the teachers there couldn't believe it. A simple thing like moving some boxes had a huge impact on their lives, and that is what loving kindness can do. And those are, if you like, big acts of kindness that we kind of do as a corporate body here. But what about us as individuals? Ben, could we watch that short little YouTube clip, please? Two favourite clips from that film. The first one, the basketball. The joy on that boy's face. And the second one is the shoelaces. Acts of loving kindness. So simple, we can all do them. And this is the great thing about being kind. We may look at parts of the church and think, do you know what? I can't play the drums, or I can't play the keyboards, or I can't speak out the front, or I can't help with the youth, or I can't do whatever. But I would suggest that we can all be kind, that we can all show acts of kindness. And they can be huge, great, big acts of kindness, or it could be making a cup of tea. Or it could be tying someone's shoelaces. Or it could be saying, you look great today. Or it could be saying, thanks for your prayer last week. It really meant a lot. There is a lot of fragility in our world around us at the moment. A lot of people are finding life very difficult. Who knows what's going on in their thoughts, in their life, in their situation? And one word, one act of loving kindness could have a huge impact upon them and the way they feel about themselves and how their life is going. So am I saying, in your workplace, should you try to be kind? Yes, I am. Well, even to that person who kind of is always putting your work down, is always very negative about you and what you are doing? Yes, I am. What about at home? If you're a parent, it can be really hard to be loving and kind to your children sometimes. What about at school? I don't know if you've got any school people or college people in here still. That person who maybe even bullies you, or that teacher who gets on your case all the time. Am I saying be kind to them? Yes, I am. What about your neighbours who kind of are always getting on you because your children are too noisy, or the state of your garden, or whatever it is? Am I saying be kind to them? If you can, yes. It's always easy to justify why we shouldn't be kind. Do you remember this before the parable of the Good Samaritan? It says the young man tried to justify himself. I shouldn't be kind to them because I can't be kind to her because... There's a film called Wonder. It's not based on a true story, but it's about a boy who has a very severe facial abnormality. It's about him going to school. His parents are rightly going very worried about how it's going to be. And there's a great saying from the film. It says, when given the choice between being right or being kind, choose kind. You may be right in your work situation. You may have the right ideas and someone else is trampling all over them. Choose to be kind. We have a God full of loving kindness who has forgiven us who has demonstrated his love and his kindness towards us through Jesus coming to this earth, through living on this earth, through dying on the cross. And if you don't know that Jesus this morning, I would encourage you, before you leave, talk to someone about him. He loves you so much, and he has demonstrated that loving kindness to you. And if you do know Jesus, Ephesians 4, verses 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And this is why we should be kind. Be imitators of God, therefore. Yes, this is a work of the Spirit, growing the fruit in us. But we don't just sit around waiting for it to happen. We need to make that decision. Yes, I'm going to actively seek to demonstrate God's loving kindness in my workplace, my home life, wherever we are. And just as I finish, Spike Milligan, the famous British comedian, was asked once, Spike, what would you like written on your gravestone? And he said, because he was a bit eccentric, I would have written on my gravestone, I told you I was ill. That was quite good. I would be quite proud to have on mine, he was a kind man. We can all be kind. Let's imitate God and do our best to demonstrate that loving kindness to the world around us. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the manifestation of God's loving kindness on this earth. That you came and you sought us and you chased us. And you'll always keep chasing us because you love us so much. Father, and I pray for anyone here who doesn't know that loving kindness, that you would touch their heart and you would speak to them in a way that they can understand, that you would break through any barriers that have been erected against you and towards you, and your loving kindness would melt them. And for those of us who do know you, Lord, I pray that this fruit, you would enable it to really grow in our lives as we seek to be obedient and to imitate you, that you would cause that kindness in us to grow, that we might be open to hear from you and you might show us how we can be kind to the people around us. Father, I thank you for your love, and I pray that you would speak to us during the rest of this service and your anointing would be upon us. Send your Holy Spirit, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.